This is the University of Georgia Griffin News, brought to you over WKU AM 1450, 102.3 FM, The Rock 88.9 FM, and stream live on WKUradio.com. This program is to update our listeners on the many and exciting things at the University of Georgia Griffin with Dr. Lou Honeycutt and his guests. The program is made possible by Frank and Carolyn Harris of Round Oak Resources Tree Farms and Murray & Company Realtors. And now today's program with Dr. Lou Honeycutt.
Well, good morning, Griffin, Spalding County, and the surrounding area. Welcome into the Griffin Campus News. Before we get started today, we've got a great program, as we always do, but we wanted to do a little tribute that we had a great loss this week of someone, an icon at the station and certainly to this show, and that was Bobby Chapel. He fought a great battle against ALS, but we lost him this week, and was, again, certainly a big part of this show. And, Tony, let me ask you, how long as I have been here, he was the moderator of the show. How long had he done it?
You know, I started here doing the day-to-day morning programming about 6 years ago, so it was at least that long, the last 5 years, and that's at a bare minimum.
And he did us an incredible job. His sense of humor was one of the first things I loved so much. It was very dry, but very, very on point.
Bobby Chapel did not say much, but when he did, a pearl was sure to fall out.
I'm telling you what. We always made the joke, but before it was rare that I could come to the show. And when I did, I only did the announcement. So he and I had a great rapport, and he will definitely be missed.
But I want to thank everybody on the University of Georgia Griffin campus for their outpouring of support. I mean, it means a lot to us to know that Bobby is going to be missed by others aside from us.
Absolutely. A great, great loss. And again, he battled for a long while, and so we will definitely miss him. So, again, rest in peace, Bobby Chapel, and we will keep you in our minds for a long time to come.
Yes, Lou, as you were saying, it was very enjoyable to do the show when Bobby was here. It was a lot of times it was more enjoyable when we was off the air. But Bobby was I call him a DGD, and a lot of Georgia fans out there know what that means. He was a darn good dog. Even though he loved Embry, but Embry didn't have a football team. But Bobby, I wore my Georgia shirt today in honor of Bobby. He would certainly be missed, and our sympathy goes out to his family, and he will truly be missed. And as you mentioned, his sense of humor was really good. He made the show easy, and especially during football season.
Oh, sure.
If we was winning, it was very good to be on the show. I hated to come the week we lost before, because he would have to bring that up. But we will miss Bobby.
I agree with you, Dr. Johnson. I think we will really miss Bobby a lot. And I know one of the highlights of coming to the radio show program was we would bring the Young Scholars on, and Bobby really enjoyed speaking with the young people. And that's really one of the highlights of working with Bobby. He really loved working with those young folks and talking to them.
Oh, I agree. And you're right. The before and after the show parts were just as great. I mean, great influence, great mentor. And, again, will certainly be missed. So, again, rest in peace, Bobby Chapel. Let's get started with the show. I mean, we got a great show today. We're talking Young Scholars, and it's kind of a great anniversary show for Young Scholars. But I'm talking today with, and you already heard him speak, but Beatrice Cunningham, who's the project manager and the YSP Young Scholars Program coordinator for UGA Griffin, and Dr. Jerry Johnson, a professor of crop and soil science and one of the founders of the Young Scholars Program. So we've got a founder and then the person that's running it now. And so welcome to the show, both of y'all.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
And as y'all probably know, I don't know, Jerry, if you know or not, but the first thing we have to do, there's a song and dance thing that you have to do. But we do want to get people to understand. I think everyone that's listening knows both of y'all, but we'll let Beatrice start. And I always say it this way, tell us from birth till now how you got to this chair. So,
okay,
Beatrice.
Okay, from birth to now, that goes a ways back.
Not very far from you.
Not too far, but let's see. My name is Beatrice Cunningham. I grew up in Macon, Georgia, which is about 55 miles south of Griffin. And I was educated in the Bibb County school system. And while I was in school, I always knew, even as a young child, that I was interested in science and was interested in pursuing a career in science. I was involved heavily in a lot of activities, from science club to math team. I even you know, dabble a little bit in sports. I did track and field and basketball. I wasn't all that great at basketball, but I did play. But I say that to say that when I got to high school and I was a junior in high school, my AP chemistry teacher reached out to me and she said, look, I know you have this interest in science, but you're so good in math, you know? So have you ever considered engineering? And I said, no, you know, I've never thought about it. She said, well, that's something you need to consider. And I did a little research, and so I combined the chemistry and science with the math and decided to pursue a bachelor's in chemical engineering at Georgia Tech. You know, Georgia Tech is one of the best schools in the state, along with the University of Georgia,
sure.
But it was the top school for engineering, so that's the path I took. I went to Georgia Tech, got my bachelor's, also got a master's from there, and then while I was in school, I tried to help pay my way through school. So I worked part-time at an attorney's office.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Believe it or not. I worked part-time at an attorney's office, and then after graduating, I went on to work full-time. After I got my MBA, I started working full-time, and I was the person that ran the office. So we had a legal team of about 15 people, and we did real estate closings. And that career was very good. It was a time when the housing industry was booming.
Oh.
So we were doing a lot of closings, getting a lot of bonuses, and I made quite a bit of money back then. But after that, I did get laid off when the housing market took a downturn. And after getting laid off, that's when I found the University of Georgia Griffin campus.
Awesome.
And I've been at University of Georgia Griffin campus now for over 12 years. And I love, love, love what I do, because now I have a chance to really impact others' lives. And I get a chance to help mold young people's lives. And for me, that's just the highlight of my whole career.
And so the cool two things to take away from that, which is great. You had a mentor that influenced you to do a career that has actually ultimately led you where you are, which is incredible.
Yes.
And secondly, you left out an important piece. Didn't you maybe like walk on to a team or something at Georgia Tech, which is hard to do, period?
But. Yes, that's hard to do. Yes, I did. I did. I walked on to the track and field team. My first year as a freshman, I just went in and found the coach, the head coach of the track and field team, went in, had a conversation with them, let them know that I was the state champion in high school in the shot put. And, you know, I took those jewels in with me and they said, okay, we can do something with that. Let's offer you a little scholarship, just enough to cover books. That's just a walk in. And if you can prove yourself worthy, we'll offer you a little bit more money. And surely enough, my first year at Tech and during the shot put, I broke the school record at Georgia Tech.
Awesome.
In the shot put. So then the next year, they kicked in a little bit more money. So I'm very thankful for that.
You mean on a scholarship?
On the scholarship. On the scholarship.
And anybody,
it was all legal.
Anybody that knows Beatrice would not find it hard to believe that she would walk into the coach and say that. So that's very good. But again, I would attribute part of that to having a really good mentor in your life. But.
I was a very confident young lady. I can tell you that growing up, I was very confident because I look back now. Georgia Tech was the only school that I applied to.
Okay. Wow.
Right.
That's confidence.
That's a lot of confidence, but it's a lot of arrogance with that too, which really could have backfired.
Sure.
And, you know, looking back on it now, I try to encourage students, you know, to always explore all of your options. Okay.
Sure.
Don't leave anything on the table. And I'm thankful that I was accepted because I don't know what I would have done if I was not.
Well, if you hadn't been, you wouldn't be here. So
that's
I'm glad
right.
You were too. Everything
yep.
works out the way it's supposed to. All right. Well, Jerry, so we same thing with you from birth till now. How did you get to this,
well,
this seat?
Originally from Perry, Georgia, Houston County. Lived there till I was 18, went to Perry High School. Actually, I attempted football. I was played running back and defensive back, but I think I graduated from high school maybe 130 pounds. So you can see I was definitely on the second screen. But back then, we didn't have anybody on our team, I think, over 200
sure,
pounds.
Sure, sure.
So, but times have changed. But had an opportunity, and speaking of mentors, I was in VOAG, FFA, Future Farmers of America, and was encouraged to go to ABAC, went to ABAC for 2 years, and then transferred to the University of Georgia and majored in agronomy, crop and soil sciences. And speaking of you know, things in life just sometimes just fall your way. And I was very blessed and lucky that worked for a guy part-time as a research there at the University of Georgia, and he was from Indiana, Purdue University.
Okay.
And so I graduated in 1970 from the University of Georgia, and he encouraged me to go to Purdue University, and he said, if you'll go, I'll get you a scholarship, and it was one of those things. I don't think I've been out of Georgia, maybe Alabama and Florida at that time, but didn't travel much. Was born and raised on a farm, so
sure.
We was always working on spring break. I remember coming home from Athens and during spring break and driving a tractor the
exactly.
whole week, and rather than my friends were going to Florida,
right.
my father thought that I needed to be home and work my way through college. But enjoyed farming. But and actually, he was a wheat breeder.
Okay,
and so I went to Purdue University for about 5 years as and majoring in plant breeding and genetics, and actually. A wheat breeder, and went to Maryland for 3 years, and had an opportunity back in 1977 to come back to the University of Georgia, and took that opportunity, and I've been here ever since. So
that's awesome.
That is awesome.
So
that's a great story with another mentor story,
which
is great. And then just for everybody listening, and I asked you this one day, and the answer was incredible. But when we think about wheat breeding or breeding in general, there's this thing called a patent that if you do different hybrids or different varieties, you patent them. How many would you estimate in your career you've done?
Roughly around probably about 50 different varieties.
Which, for people that are listening that may not know that, that is an incredible accomplishment. So congratulations on that. You've been busy, that's right. And it's not easy to do that. We've talked about that on other shows, but it takes how long to get a patent through? I mean, it's a long time from start to finish. I mean, it takes a terrific amount of time. So great effort on that. Okay, so now let's segue into mentors since we've been talking about them all day long. But Jerry, let's start with you with the Young Scholars Program. How did that get started? I mean, we're on our 30th anniversary, which is pretty awesome. How did it get started? Because it's such an incredible program, and it started here.
Well, about 1989, the USDA, the United States Department of Agriculture, had a grant program, and the part of the grant program, the initiative of the grant program was try to get underrepresented groups into agriculture. That included women and minorities. And it was an opportunity to hire high school students to get them to work for you and to be paid, but also mainly thing was get them to be exposure to agriculture science and to hopefully would major in agriculture.
Sure.
Then if once they major in agriculture, then you have an opportunity to hire them. So USDA was initiated that program. And so wrote the grant, was successful, and I think we wrote maybe two grants to continue the program on, and hired high school students from Spalding County and surrounding counties. And it just involved in something a lot bigger than I've ever dreamed. I didn't
sure.
think I was just trying to help one or two students out, and also help the University of Georgia and try to have people exposed to agriculture. Even little today, but back then everybody thought that agriculture was just farming,
sure,
you know.
Sure.
And I think working on a Griffin campus, the exposure to agricultural research showed you is more than that. It's DNA technology, it's entomology, pathology, food science, food safety, economics. So it's just a wide open science that if students want to major, they have a tremendous opportunity. So.
I agree. I mean, I think that's well said. And again, it's been 30 years in the making to get us to this point in time, but it's an incredibly successful program, which has grown from here to Athens and Tifton.
Yes.
So we get to take credit for having it start here, but it has grown to a large university program, which is and it's so impressive. I mean, where I get to have input into it is, of course, see the students on the Griffin campus, but then I get to go listen to the students at the main get-together in Athens, and ours are always – I'm going to say a little above the rest, but certainly right up there. But so, Beatrice, let's kind of jump forward 30 years. Tell us what the program's about. Tell us how the program works. Sure. Well, let me ask a question to Jerry first. How many did you start with? What was the first year?
Was there? The first year was one, and the second year was two.
Okay. So it doubled. It doubled after 1 year.
Double, and then I go to the Athens when we have all the college took it over, and all three campuses: Athens, Griffin, Athens, and Tifton campus in Ag. And I think one time we had 125 students.
That's right.
Wow.
That's right.
And
okay.
it was like, the caliber of students and the project that they work on is just remarkable, and some great students.
So over time, even at the Griffin campus, we've had over 600 students participate in the program just from Griffin over the years.
Fantastic.
So that shows you how the program has grown. Now we focus on, of course, exposing the students to agri and environmental sciences. We also focus on providing them with a college preparatory type atmosphere so we can get them prepared to get into the University of Georgia eventually. But now we host even, you know, about 25 students per summer at the Griffin campus. So that shows you the growth of the program,
sure.
Starting out with this one and two students. And now we're hosting 20 to 25 students every summer. So we get a chance to impact students not just here in Griffin Spalding County, but also the surrounding county area.
And then, so the total program, that all three campuses is around 60-ish?
Around 60.
Somewhere around there?
Sure, around 60.
So I mean, we're a big proportion of that, which is great, which I like hearing. And then kind of for anyone, and probably everybody listening may have heard of YSP, Young Scholars Program, but who are the students we serve? How do they get in? I mean, if someone's out there listening, what is Young Scholars?
So Young Scholars is a six-week paid summer internship program for students in high school. So we reach out to students in the Spalding County area and six surrounding counties. So we're looking at Lamar County, Spalding, Clayton, Henry, Fayette, even Upson County. But we're looking at students that could actually commute to the Griffin campus because we don't have a residential option.
Right.
So students that can commute on a daily basis and come and work with our research scientists. So the students report to work Monday through Thursday and work about 30 hours per week with the mentors and their research teams. So that's not only working with the research scientists, but they may be working with research technicians, graduate students, undergraduate students, just a host of research scientists. And then on Fridays, the students actually participate in college preparatory workshops. So those workshops can vary from doing business etiquette, learning how to interview on the job. We also have a College of Ag and Environmental Sciences admission session. So students can learn about the different career options within the sciences. We also have an admissions session that teaches students how to write proper essays to get accepted into the University of Georgia. We have a different session on what's the differences between high school versus what's the difference in the college.
Sure.
You know, so students really need to know it's a difference between high school and college. So we just try to help prepare them for college. And we also teach them all about the various different scholarships that are out there and available to the students. Anything we can do to help prepare them, not only for college, but also for the workforce.
And then they are employees of the University of Georgia, correct? For that,
they are,
that
and they go through
period.
The same process that any
background
other...
Background checks, everything.
Yes, and that's it can be hectic, but hey, they are employees of the University of Georgia, and this is something they can put on their resumes for the rest of their lives. It's also great that they're able to connect with mentors like Dr. Johnson, because these mentors can actually write letters of recommendations for these students when it's time to apply for various colleges. So it's a great program. I certainly encourage young people to apply. We are in the application season right now. Applications open up October 15th of every year, and they run through January 31st.
Okay.
So we're looking at students who have a high aptitude or interest in science, technology, engineering, mathematics. We're looking to train students in the various fields of food and agricultural sciences and just expose them to the various possibilities out there. We don't have a set criteria, so we're looking at students that actually just have an interest. If you have an interest or you want to learn a little bit more or just be exposed to the food and agricultural sciences, come see us.
And this is not limited to just Griffin and Spalding County students.
That's right. It's not limited to just Griffin and Spalding County students, but we certainly encourage the students to apply. Yeah, we're looking at students that can commute to our campus.
In the history of the program, where have some of the students come from? I mean, I know you've had some Henry County. You've had a lot of Pike County.
Yes, so we've had some Pike County students, even Upson County, and as far as Bibb County, we've had students come in. So we have students from all over this central region coming in to work with us during the summer.
And aside from this radio program, how do you get the word out about YSP?
That's a very good question, Tony. So during the marketing season, what we do is we go out to the various high schools. We actually go out and visit the students and give a presentation and tell them all about what the Young Scholars Program is about. We also reach out to counselors at the various high schools and assistant principals just to share information about what we have going on. So specifically this year, I've met with counselors over at Spalding High School. I've met with counselors at Griffin High School just so that they can pass this word on to the students about what we have going on right here in our own backyard, and just try to encourage students to apply to this phenomenal program. Then, not even to mention that they're getting paid to do this research.
Right, exactly.
The success of the program also is it's amazing how the word gets around that. I know a friend that did this 2 years ago, and he said, "Oh, I must do this," and so I applied. But the competition is increased every year. Very difficult to get in.
Right.
We probably have how many applicants we apply each time to select 20.
I tell you, we have to turn away at least 4 students for every student that we accept. It's a very competitive pool of students. We bring the students in for interviews. So again, they get exposed to the interviewing process. So they get a chance to meet with mentors and interview with those mentors. And then we have to narrow the pool down from there and try to place students based on whatever their interests are. And we go from there.
And the quality shows. I mean, when you interact with these students, you're not interacting with the typical 16, 17, 18-year-old student. They're focused. They are. It's pretty amazing to interact with these kiddos. And one of the advantages, and Jerry, you can speak to this too, we've had more than one, and I'm sure you have had some of these, but that have gotten their names have appeared on referee journal articles and publications prior to graduating from high school. Yeah. That is almost impossible. I think that's one of the great another. Talk about a resume builder.
That's right.
When you're applying to any university, but certainly a large university. So
it's very impressive when you apply to a university because the competition to get in universities, especially University of Georgia, is very difficult. So to have that on your resume and also I think the have it on your resume that you participate in a program like the Young Scholars helps.
Absolutely. I have to believe that. And then, Beatrice, we had recently, we talk about papers a lot, but we also had recently a couple of students work on a chocolate milk product that now is being marketed around. Was that Pike County?
That's
kid?
Pike County.
Oh,
Stemager.
We're going to talk a little bit about Pike County students later, but so we'll shelve that for a minute. I get the two confused. So, incredible program. Open to anyone
So criteria
yeah.
Yes, because they are employees of the University of Georgia, students must be 16 years old by the start date of the program to participate. So we're looking at students that have completed their sophomore year of school, have been through a lab course in the high school setting. Again, they have an interest in science or technology, engineering, or mathematics. And when they submit their online application, they need to also submit a copy of their transcript, as well as 2 letters of recommendation from a math or science teacher. So that's what we're looking at. And again, the deadline is January 31st to get those applications in. We'll bring students in around the end of February for interviews.
Okay.
And then we notify students of their acceptance by April 1st of each year.
Okay. I mean, so that's they hear pretty relatively quickly after the interview process. And then the start date is?
The first week in June. It's always the first full week in June.
Okay.
So I think this year is June 4th, 3rd or 4th.
Okay.
It's the first full week in June.
And then within the program or during the program, you talked about the skills building on the Fridays and things like that. But then also they take part in another big event in Athens at the end. And then some of them take part in another international event after that.
Right.
So talk to a little bit about that.
So at the another part about the program is not only do they work with research scientists on the campus, but at the end of the program, the students have to present their research findings. So that's a major component of the program, is that the students have to present their research not only in front of their peers, but also in front of faculty members, other University of Georgia staff and administrators. So it really gets them to start opening up and bettering their public speaking skills. And then you want to say something? Okay. So then at the end of the program, we spend 3 days at the Athens campus at a pre-collegiate research conference. So at that conference is when we bring all three campuses together of all young scholars. So from Athens, Griffin, and Tifton, we all meet up in Athens, and we participate in various activities, just team-building activities, have a lot of fun at that point, have a chance for the students to stay in the college dormitories so they can really get exposed to higher education and what it's like to be on a college campus, a hustling and bustling college
sure.
campus. So it's really great. It's just a great opportunity for the young people.
Well, and then for all three of us sitting here, or four of us sitting here, the poster and presentation part of this, when you look at it, and Jerry's seen a million of these too, it is just like a master's and PhD poster presentation at a national meeting. I mean,
that's
it is
right.
It is fiercely competitive and very professional. So, I mean, they're learning. You know, when they do their first presentation when they start grad school or undergrad, they're going to have already done it.
That's right. I mean, so first-year students actually do posters. So they do a scientific research poster, and they actually have to present. Again, it's very similar to setting up like a science fair. And then they present to, like I said, faculty members and such. But then the returning young scholars actually have to do a PowerPoint presentation, an oral presentation, and talk about all the research that they've done. And the students actually compete against each other. And we present first through third place prizes for the students as they compete in those competitions.
And it, like I said, it's fiercely competitive, but they are very professional in what they do. And one thing, we're going to go to break here in just a minute, but I want to kind of lead into this. One of the things I see so important about the program, the research obviously is that and that mm-hmm. experience, but it also brings kids out of their shells.
It does.
And I know y'all have many, many poster children y'all could talk about, but I want to pick on one in particular because she just started a new job today as a doctor, as a PhD.
Yes.
Named Bethany Harris, and we had hoped she could be here with us today, but you know, she's working. So, I mean, that, which is a good thing. But when we come back from break, I want y'all to talk a little bit about, and I can add in too, about the transformation of students, and certainly we'll pick on Bethany a little bit in a very good way,
mm-hmm.
because I'm telling you, it is a great success story on how this program can really completely change lives. Tony, is it a little too early to go to break, or can
we're
we?
Good.
Okay, let's go to our bottom of the hour break. We'll come back and pick this topic.
You're listening to the University of Georgia Griffin Campus News on AM 1450 WKEU in Griffin, Georgia. Also heard on 102.3 FM as well as 88.9 FM The Rock. Georgia Public Radio at its finest. We're also streaming live on the web at our website, WKEUradio.com. And you can take us with you wherever you go, courtesy of the free WKEU app. This morning's program will continue after this.
Frank and Carolyn Harris of Round Oak Resources Tree Farm and Murray & Company Realty. Proud supporters of the University of Georgia Griffin Campus and proud to bring you this week's edition of the University of Georgia Griffin Campus News. As the UGA Griffin Campus grows with the great educational opportunities for our children, Round Oak Resources Tree Farm is growing our future with trees to support and assist our environment. Frank and Carolyn Harris of Round Oak Resources Tree Farm and Murray & Company Realtors are proud supporters of the UGA Griffin Campus and area youth activities in Griffin and Spalding County.
Tony? time to resume this morning's University of Georgia Griffin Campus News. Let us turn the proceedings over to this morning's host. He is the Assistant Provost and Campus Director on the University of Georgia Griffin Campus, Dr. Lou Honeycutt.
Thank you, Tony. Welcome back, everyone. We're having a great time today talking with Beatrice Cunningham, Project Manager and Young Scholars Program Coordinator on the Griffin Campus, and Dr. Jerry Johnson, Professor of Crop and Soil Science and a founder of the Young Scholars Program. So we were talking right before we left about this program changes lives and on many, many different levels. I mean, some students come to us as professionally speaking people that they don't need a whole lot of tweaking, but then some come, and I'm going to pick on Dr. Harris if she's listening, because I've talked to her mom about this, and I'm told that when she was younger, and she was a 4-H student before Young Scholars, but I'm told when she was at a younger age, she had a lot of trouble speaking to people. I mean, very shy and just incredible intellect, but kind of enclosed. She just received her doctorate at the University of Georgia, and so now has just started working at Callaway Gardens in a great position there. So we've come from someone who had trouble speaking to groups, certainly, but just a very shy person, to Dr. Harris. Yeah. That's incredible. So let's talk a little bit about the changes that y'all have seen in students through the years.
So Bethany is one of our poster children. I mean, Bethany came all the way through the program, starting, like you said, in 4-H, coming through Young Scholars. She worked with Tony Johnson in the Research and Education Garden, so that gave her that feel for entomology as well as horticulture. And Bethany, again, she came through the University of Georgia Griffin campus, received her bachelor's, went on to get her master's at UGA in Athens in entomology, and now she's just completed her PhD this past fall. And I think it's horticulture is what she studied for her PhD. So she is, like I said, the poster child for Young Scholars Program.
As hard as this may be to believe, but getting back to the late Bobby Chappell, who was the host of this program, I remember Bethany appearing when Bobby was the host of the program.
Sure.
And
yes,
just how reticent she was. And then she would come back with you, Dr. Honeycutt, and it was an entirely different person.
Sure, right. Changes even in the time I knew her, so which is incredible.
So that shows you how YSP can actually change lives. And Bethany's not the only student. We had another student, Tiffany Green, that came through the program. She came through around 2002, 2003, a little bit before my time, but I've been told all the tales of how she was very introverted, and it was very hard to get even just a word out of Tiffany. But now she's gone on, and she's at Johns Hopkins University doing research in epidemiology. And Tiffany was actually invited to come back to the Young Scholars Program closing ceremony to speak before an audience of faculty, staff, students, and it was over 300 people in that auditorium that she stood up and talked about her YSP experience. And that shows the difference in, you know, coming in, coming out of your shell, and being able to speak now in front of a big group of people. And she attributes the Young Scholars Program with not only helping with her public speaking skills, but also driving her into the research field.
So. Which is incredible. And now at Johns Hopkins, that's you don't get much higher than that.
I know.
I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Well, we've had a lot of Young Scholars come, and high school students talk about going on to college a little bit, maybe. But with the experience and going to international program, Costa Rica, Ghana. You remember Tiffany Green? I remember in Costa Rica, and she was on the bus, and I don't know if she said a word for about a couple of days, but we kind of pulled out her shell and talked to her, and she's turned out, as you say, a very successful young lady, and Bethany is very successful, and again, just interacting with not only with the faculty at the university, but interacting with our staff. We have an excellent staff that part of the mentor program, and they actually work maybe more hours with the students than we do as a faculty. But we want to commend our staff for helping work with these students, talk to these students, ask them a lot of questions, and pull them out of that uncomfort zone.
That's right.
And I do remember Tiffany at, in Costa Rica. They had a festival, and so I made her dance with me. So she said, "Dr. Johnson, I don't know how to dance." I said, "Well, we just stand up here and listen to the music." But we had a great time, and it was just one of those things that it's just getting the one of the advantages of going on international trips for a lot of students. A lot of students have the opportunity to travel, mm-hmm. but we have students that never been out of the country. And that's an educational in itself, if anyone ever traveled, to go through customs, go to leave the U.S., land on a land in a foreign country, and even if they speak Costa Rica, they speak Spanish, but even in Ghana, they spoke English. But when you land and go through that go through customs and come out on the other side, it's a different world. It's a different world from Griffin, Spaulding County and surrounding counties. But it really helped the students grow up and mature, and the exposure is something that they treasure and help them blossom into young adults.
Mm-hmm. So they have to even go through the process of getting a passport, and that's a major feat.
That is a major
feat for a young person. So we've had a lot of students that had not even gone outside of Griffin, Spaulding County, believe it or not. We've had students that have not flown on airplanes before. So this is a great exposure. And then once you get over to a different country, you really get a different perspective of what life really is. They get a chance to see and eat the same foods that are from that culture. They get a chance to interact in a homestay. That means they spend two nights with a local family in the Costa Rican culture. And they really just get exposed to the culture and come back with a completely different worldview and a completely different perspective on life.
Sure.
And let what they're saying illustrate that it is not all work of the Young Scholars Program. I know they generally take one day a week where they kind of get together as a group with the scholars. And like Dr. Honeycutt, I remember last year you had them do the color personality test.
Absolutely.
And it was a good way to learn about the students. And it helps you associate where they may best fit in on the UGA Griffin campus.
It's such a great person-building experience. You've got the science side, you've got the interactive side. And then Jerry, you mentioned, I think it's a great mention, on talking about the staff, the team members that help with this. And I applaud the faculty on the Griffin campus. I'm talking all the faculty. There are faculty across the nation, and when you talk to them, it's all about the faculty. and we all know that Jerry Johnson didn't do all of his success by himself. You know that too. But the great thing about being at the University of Georgia, and specifically on the University of Georgia Griffin campus, is it never fails to happen that a faculty member doesn't deflect the effort and the praise to the people that work with them. And same way with Young Scholars. You mentioned Tony Johnson in the garden. Tony didn't have to do that. Plenty to do in the garden. But the interactions that someone that Bethany had with Tony, I'll guarantee anybody knows Tony knows that helped her tremendously. So thank you for mentioning your teams and staff and all the members that help.
Local people, Dan Bland, that moved here from Eastman. He's been here about 40 years as I have. And Steve Sutton, his father, he was born and raised here.
Sure.
So they do an excellent job of filling in when I'm not there and supporting the program and supporting the young scholars. If Dan's listening, he'll know that in 2 hours, Dan will know more about a young scholar person than I would in about a month, because I think he knows, and he'll be telling me things about the young scholars. Did you know she was from so-and-so, or he knew so-and-so, or worked for so-and-so? And so he would help with the students, and both him and Steve, and now we have Ben Lopez.
Sure.
But they, I think that the interaction with makes them feel at ease and also helps the students tremendously.
Sure, confidence builder. They see that it's not scary to talk to a professor. It's not scary. It's just work, and it's just the way things happen. But so again, I applaud you for bringing that up. I don't even have to say I'm impressed anymore. I just expect it, because I know what's going to happen. There's a deflection to the people that are doing the work with.
Yes, we're very thankful to have the mentors, not only the mentors, but their whole teams. So thank you very much. And thank you, Dr. Johnson, for having your vision. And Marilyn and John Roberts for having the vision to even bring this to our campus.
Did you ever expect, looking back 30 years ago, did you ever think this is going to grow and be on three campuses and be, 65, 70 students big? What?
I always said that the life is, if you have a good idea, it takes on its own life.
Sure.
And I think it was just a good idea to apply for the grant with John Roberts, and I think Marilyn Johnson took it on, and BHS have taken it to another level, and it's just like a good idea that's evolved and keep growing, and it's I think it was the idea more than me doing anything, and people, other people supporting, like Dr. Arkin, and
sure.
Other taking the program and expanding on it and adding to it to make it the success it is today.
Mm-hmm. And I would definitely say that it has been and will continue to be successful. And then let's talk a little bit about, you know, why don't we have 60 students? Why can't you accept all the students that apply, Beatrice? I mean, let's talk about what it takes to run the program,
sure.
I mean, how it works, and things like that. So why don't we accept everyone that applies?
Well, there are a couple of limitations. I would say one limitation would be, of course, the number of mentors that volunteer. So let me say that again. These mentors are volunteering their time to work with these high school students and mold them. So that's one of the limitations to get the number of mentors signed up to work with the students. But the major limitation is funding.
Sure.
So we have to have money to run the program because, again, we are paying these students to work with us because we don't want these students to have to give up their summer job. You know, some students really need to work during the summer to help with expenses at home. So we want to be able to pay the students to come on the campus and do this research. So the major limitation, again, is funding. If we could get more money to help run the program and help pay for some of the activities that we have going on, that would be great. So if you're interested by chance in helping to support this program, please feel free to reach out to me.
Sure.
Again, my name is Beatrice Cunningham, and my email address is Beatrice, Beatrice, @uga.edu. That's Beatrice @uga.edu. And if you're interested in supporting the program, just reach out to me.
You can also reach Miss Beatrice by going on to just the www.griffin.uga.edu, and there will be a link that you'll be able to find her under the Contact Us section.
Yep, she's easy to find, which is a good thing. Let's talk a little bit about international travel again, because
sure.
Not everyone gets to go on the – or tell me the criteria for the students that get to go on the international travel.
So that has changed. The criteria has changed over the years.
Okay.
In the past, it has been if you were a returning young scholar, you were eligible to participate in the travel.
Okay.
And the now the rule is that if you're a senior, you must be a senior and interested in coming to the University of Georgia to participate
sure.
in the international travel. So what we do is we take seniors on a trip. This year we'll be going to Costa Rica.
Okay.
It'll be an 8-day faculty-led excursion. So we always have a faculty members come on board so that they can help teach the students even outside of when we're doing activities. But while we're over in Costa Rica, the students really have a great time. They get a chance to interact with one another, but they also get a chance to do some fun thing like hiking in the rainforest, going bird watching. They even milk cows. A lot of students have milk cows for the first time,
sure.
which is really interesting. They get a chance to go zip lining through the cloud forest, and they also participate in homestays with the local Costa Rican families. So this is a phenomenal experience.
And they may get the opportunity to dance with Dr. Johnson.
That's
they,
right.
They might. There you go. And then also, do they visit the campus, the UGA campus
yes.
in Costa Rica?
They
okay,
do. They, I do. They get
they
a
did.
Chance
I mean,
to visit
sense.
The UGA campus in Costa Rica. And a lot of people are not even aware that we
sure.
have a campus in Costa Rica. But it's buried right there in the rainforest. It's phenomenal. And they get a chance to meet with even students from all across the world.
Wow.
While
okay.
they're at the Costa Rica campus.
And then, so I mean, it's an incredible trip without
mm-hmm.
a doubt. How many would you estimate that, and I know from, I'm like you, Jerry, when I graduated right. from high school, I'd been out of my county maybe a little bit, but how many do you think over the years this has been their first international trip? I'm assuming it's probably pretty high.
I would say the percentage is very high, probably close to 85%.
Okay. I mean, that's
students,
incredible, though,
that
to think
is.
You get to have this kind of experience. And where else have you mentioned Ghana and Costa Rica? Have there been other places through
so
the
Dr.
years?
So, Dr. Johnson, or? You can talk about the trip to Ghana.
Oh, Ghana was an excellent trip. We left Atlanta, landed in London. Travel 8-9 hours. The students, that was an experience for some of them. Some of them thought that they needed to stay up all night. But that's just half the trip. Then
sure.
You get on another plane about 4 hours later, then fly and land in Ghana. But Ghana's in Africa, and it was a great country to visit. Mm-hmm. The people were very friendly. Opened a lot of the people's eyes, and we got to visit the history, not a great history of our nation or of the world, the slave places. But it was a really good educational. We got to see elephants and
that's awesome.
Go out and different animals in Africa, and so. Just the experience in Costa Rica and the experience in Africa, it's just for students who haven't been out of country, it's just amazing, giving them a great opportunity. And I really love Costa Rica. The students, after about a week, a couple of days they get tired of eating rice and beans, so they change it up and they give you beans and rice. So if you get tired of one, they'll change it. Being in the rainforest and it's a unique experience.
Sure.
It's going to rain sometime every day.
In the rainforest.
But you just don't know when.
Sure.
It lasts about an hour or two, then it back to steamy weather. It's just a real educational thing of travel, just traveling. And we had students one time, first time I think we went, they lost their about three of them lost their airplane ticket to come back.
Oh,
so
gosh.
We had to work through Delta, so we had to stay on the other side of the passport to stay with them where we could get them a plane. But actually, it worked out real good for me. That was the only trip that I thought I was going to lose my seat. And we worked with the Delta agent there, and she said, "Well, because they had the student in the." computer, we just didn't have the ticket.
Sure,
they wanted a tremendous amount of money, like $1,000 each, to buy a ticket that day. And we said, "Well, we can't afford that, but we can't leave without them." And so she was very nice and helped us. And so I got bumped, but I got bumped up to first class. It's only a 4-hour flight, though. The experience and the adventures of traveling you have to learn. I think you learn a lot, and mm-hmm. the students learn a lot. The opportunity, the have to be flexible at times, and
right.
you have to be careful. And so it's a good experience. And
sure. Well, and, you know, the international travel is an incredible part, but just the experience of Hartsfield. Maybe the first time any of them have experienced the Hartsfield Airport. That's an experience in and of itself, but especially now with the partial shutdown. But mm-hmm. Well, as we talk about international travel, Ghana and Costa Rica, have there been other sites in the past, or is that really the two that – is that kind of the go-to?
Those are the two go-to spots for international travel. One year we did do a domestic travel to Washington, D.C.
Okay.
And that was a lot – it was a lot of fun, and we were exposed to a lot. We got a chance to go to the White House, the Library of Congress. We visited with USDA, the head of USDA at that time. So it was a very, very educational experience, even on the home front.
Sure. And then 1 year since I've been here, y'all went to California. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, that's right. We did.
So it's not always international. But even a trip to Washington or California, that's a different world. So, okay, well, let's take our last break for the day. We'll come back, do some wrap-up, do some y'all's final thoughts, and finish up our talk about Young Scholars Program.
Frank and Carolyn Harris of Round Oak Resources Tree Farm and Murray & Company Realty. Proud supporters of the University of Georgia Griffin Campus and proud to bring you this week's edition of the University of Georgia Griffin Campus News. As the UGA Griffin Campus grows with the great educational opportunities for our children, Round Oak Resources Tree Farm is growing our future with trees to support and assist our environment.
Frank and Carolyn Harris of Round Oak Resources Tree Farm and Murray & Company Realtors are proud supporters of the UGA Griffin campus and area youth activities in Griffin and Spalding County.
In news and announcements from the University of Georgia Griffin campus, Young Scholar applications are available online. Visit www.ysp.caes.uga.edu for more information and to fill out the application. The deadline for application is January 31st. The Erosion and Sediment Control Initial Certification class will be held on January 26th in Stuckey Auditorium, Room 119. The fee of $150 includes all materials, breaks, exam, and filing with the state of Georgia. If you are involved in moving soil in any capacity, this certification is required. The campus store, located on the first floor of the Flint Building in 1109 Experiment Street, has new UGA and Georgia Bulldog items arriving weekly. The shelves are freshly stocked with officially licensed UGA apparel, souvenirs, and gifts. The campus store hours are Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. For information on degrees offered at the University of Georgia Griffin campus or information on current undergraduate and graduate degrees offered through the five university colleges, you can obtain that by visiting griffin.uga.edu or by calling 770-412-4400. Call the campus or visit online to take a campus tour. Again, it's www.griffin.uga.edu. We're nearing the conclusion of this morning's University of Georgia Griffin Campus News on WKEU AM and FM. To wrap the bow and make the present all nice and pretty, let's return the proceedings back over to this morning's host, Dr. Lou Honeycutt.
Thank you, Tony. Again, welcome back, everybody. We've been having a great conversation about the Young Scholars Program with Beatrice Cunningham, Project Manager and YSP Coordinator at the University of Georgia Griffin Campus, and Dr. Jerry Johnson, Professor of Crop and Soil Science, and one of the major founders of the Young Scholars Program, which is in its 30th year, which is impressive in and of itself. But so, Beatrice, just kind of as a, let's talk the future of Young Scholars Program. I mean, what do you see? Do you see any changes happening, or what do you want to see the program become in 3 or 4 or 5 years, just more students, or what you tell me?
Well, I think the program is exceptional as it is, but it's always, we always welcome changes just to wait to improve the program. I think one of the major changes that we recently did by taking all of the students to the Athens campus was a major improvement. Okay. Because the students get a chance to get exposed to that college atmosphere. I mean, being on our campus is great, but being on the Athens campus is a different experience. So it's great for students to be exposed to both. One of the changes I can see in the future is talking more with the parents to get them a little bit more involved also, so that they can learn a little bit more about the program. Maybe even have them come on the campus and tour and learn more about the research scientists that are involved. But the program is exceptional, and we certainly encourage young people to apply to the program. Again, the deadline for applications is this year is January 31st. So go online to the UGA Griffin campus website and look for the Young Scholars Program link and just go ahead and get those applications in.
And then just and tell us again the who can apply. I mean,
so the eligibility, just you have to be 16 years old by the start date of the program, which is June 3rd or 4th this year. Students that are interested in food and agricultural sciences or even have an interest just in the STEM field, we encourage them to apply, and we'll go from there. And your sophomore year.
Completed your sophomore year of school. Okay. I mean, that, and that's there's a lot of students in the area that fill that criteria.
That's
so
right.
People that are listening, go online and or give Beatrice a call and check that out. So, Jerry, looking back 30 years ago, you started this program, which is incredible, USDA grant, worked up. Are you happy with where – I know the answer to this, but are you happy with where it's come to be? And would you like to – what would you like to see different? What would you do different if you could? But I mean, has it been successful?
Well, the program has definitely been successful. Is successful, and the initial beginning of the program origination was to get people interested in agriculture sciences and people and get students, underrepresented group, to go into agriculture and a major in agriculture. And looking at the students that we've had come through the Young Scholars Program, it's been extremely successful. and the actually the accomplishments of the students that have come through. I think Bethany Harris going on to get a PhD from a young scholar, high school student, 16, all the way to an experience that led to a PhD in agriculture. That's a success of the program.
Oh, man, that was,
and go to University of Georgia. And so, you know, we have students that we encourage them to go to University of Georgia, but we have go to other land-grant universities, Auburn, Clemson, and which is Florida, and which is happy that they majored in agriculture. We have students now that come back and 20 years later and tell us what a incredible experience that they had, and they would never have this opportunity to work in the agricultural field that they are in today if it wasn't for the Young Scholars Program. And so that's my success that I feel successful is what the students and what they accomplish and how they feel about the experience of being part of the Young Scholars Program.
So. Well, what a great legacy. I mean, you have an incredible legacy on about 40 different levels about your career, but this is, you know, of all I know you well enough to know this makes your heart feel good to know the students have been changed.
Especially when they come back. And actually, I was in J. Henry Restaurant probably a year ago, and someone came up to me that these kids grow up, though. You know, 10 years later, it was like 10 years, and oh, you're Dr. Johnson. It's like, yes. I said, y'all look for me. We was in the Young Scholar Program. Two of them was there. They was talking about their experience and how successful they are and contributed back to the Young Scholar Program. That really makes you feel wonderful that the program had some part in their life. So, and the University of Georgia and the University of Griffin campus is part of that experience.
Sure. No, I think it's a great testament to the program.
You asked what would make it more successful.
Sure.
I think Beatrice said it. It's better than having 20 students. If we could afford to have 25,
that would
even
be great.
More. And I had to. Beatrice always called me. She said, "Dr. Johnson, sometimes she's not hard on that 20." She said, "I have one more student. if we could find some funding, or if you could take one more, you know." I said, "Okay, I'll take two this year or three this year, just to give that one student an opportunity." And it never have proved out to be something that I wish I hadn't have done. I wish we could take more of them. So.
Exactly. I mean, I think that's great. And what's great about the experiences I've had in the last 3 years is I've seen so many students, and I'll use an example, is they didn't know food science was part of agriculture.
That's right.
And so they came on campus, they worked in food science or any other program, and they figured out, they're like, "What? You mean this is agriculture?" Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So it's really broadening the base of what truly agriculture is. And it is everything, basically, but certainly a lot more than people think. Beatrice, you and I, just to kind of end up, we're going tomorrow, kind of segueing off to another mentorship program that we do. We're in our third year.
That's right.
The Pike County STEM program, which this can be your legacy to the University of Georgia. But we've got about a couple minutes left. Really briefly, tell us a little bit about that. And then also what we're going for tomorrow, we helped them to some extent become STEM certified, certified school. And we're going to their banner presentation tomorrow. But talk just a minute as we finish up about the Pike County STEM program.
So the Pike County STEM program is very similar to the Young Scholars program, with the exception that the STEM program is actually during the academic school year.
Okay.
So we invite students from Pike County High School to apply for this internship so that they can be exposed to the food, agricultural, and environmental science fields. So we've been partnering with Pike County High School now for the past 3 years. And we've hosted students each year, usually anywhere from 4 to 6 students over the academic school year. And it's been a phenomenal partnership because these are students that are already interested in agriculture, that have participated in the Pike County STEM Academy. So these are their top students. These are students with exceptional GPAs. They're already interested in agriculture, and then now we're getting them to the University of Georgia Griffin campus to be exposed to the research scientists and research fields. And tomorrow, like you mentioned, we're going over to Pike County High School, and we're going to help them celebrate being certified as a STEM certification school.
And that's an incredible accomplishment.
Yeah,
an
incredible accomplishment. So they're being certified through the Georgia Department of Education, which is awesome. That's a fabulous accomplishment.
Well, very good. Well, listen, we're out of time. Jerry, number one, thank you for your vision for Young Scholars Program. I mean, you didn't have to do that. We're sure glad you did because it's been so incredible. Beatrice, thank you for continuing to pick up the torch and run with it on the Young Scholars Program. And Tony, I guess with that, we'll say goodbye for today and come back next week and do it again.
On a personal note, I want to thank each of our guests, you, Dr. Lou Honeycutt, and Dr. Jerry Johnson, Beatrice Cunningham, for your kind words for Bobby Chapel and his passing and his loss felt here at the radio station. Your kind words were able to beguile us from our grief for at least a short time. We hope that you'll be able to join us next Thursday morning between 9 and 10 a.m. for more University of Georgia Griffin Campus News.